Let's understand what the goal of meditation is. Why do we meditate on the path of bhakti? Well, we know that bhakti, devotion, is the way to reach God. Only by surrendering to God through bhakti can we attain Him. So what is it that needs to be surrendered? It's our mind. Thus, we have to learn to do bhakti with our mind. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji mentioned two different kinds of bhakti. He says there's sasanga bhakti and anasanga bhakti. Anasanga bhakti means the devotion we do without the involvement of our mind, meaning like we may be chanting God's names or doing puja or any other form of physical devotion. But if our mind is somewhere else, thinking about something other than Radha Krishna, then it's not going to purify our mind. So it's called anasanga bhakti. We must do sasanga bhakti, which means that the mind should be in Radha Krishna as we do devotion. And in fact, devotion or bhakti means having the mind in God. Upasana. The word upasana, which we translate as worshiping God in English, actually means literally that the mind is in God. So only if our mind is thinking of Radha Krishna will our mind purify. So meditation is a way of joining our mind with Radha and Krishna in order to purify it. Manmana bhava madbhakti. To madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. In the Gita, Shri Krishna says, Arjun, give your mind to me. So meditation is a way of gradually giving our mind to Shri Krishna. It's a process. Upavishyasane yunjad yogamatma vishuddhaye. As we attach our mind to Radha Krishna more and more through this process of meditation, our mind is gradually purified, and the more purified it becomes, the more surrendered our mind becomes to Radha and Krishna, and the closer we come to reaching our goal of full surrender and God realization. How is this meditation done? All forms of meditation can be divided into two main categories: intellectual meditation and emotional or affectional meditation. Most of the techniques which are being used in the world today come in the first category of intellectual meditation. The type of meditation which we're going to learn is emotional meditation. This is described by Shri Krishna in the Bhagavatam. Vishayan dhyayatashchittam vishayeshu vishajjate mamanusmaratashchittam mayyeva praviliyate. He says that when we deeply emotionally remember someone or something, we imbibe the qualities of that thing. This is not the case when we intellectually consider something. So intellectual techniques, whether they be a concentration technique or a relaxation technique or a breathing technique, these intellectual approaches don't actually change the quality of the mind. Whatever our mind's qualities are, it remains entrenched in those qualities, and then it does its intellectual meditation. But with an affectional meditation, we actually melt the heart, we melt the mind, and whatever thing or person we're remembering at that time, they enter into our heart and become a part of us. This is what Shri Krishna has described. So he says, if we lovingly remember the pleasures of this world, we multiply our worldly attachments. But if we lovingly remember Him, we're purifying our mind, because what could be more pure than God Himself? By joining our mind to Shri Krishna through this emotional remembrance of Him, we actually purify the mind. It's the simplest and most powerful way to purify one's mind. This type of meditation is called Rup Dhyan. Although you can use all five of your senses to remember Shri Krishna, since we are predominantly visual beings, so we call it Rup Dhyan. Dhyan means meditating and Rup means the form. So we think of the form of Shri Krishna and we meditate on that form. This is a very simple way of meditating because we already know how to do it. It's not a new skill. Whoever we're attached to in this world, whoever we love, we always think about those people. And when we think about them, we're actually picturing their form in our mind. And along with that, we remember other things about them. But the main thing is, what do they look like? We hold their look, their form in our mind, and we're, through this process, developing further emotional attachment to that person. So if we use this same process for Shri Krishna, we'll develop our attachment to him, and this attachment releases all the bondage because it purifies our mind. This Rup Dhyan meditation can be done anywhere at any time, as long as you won't be disturbed. You should find a place where nothing will disrupt your meditation and sit comfortably. You don't have to adopt any particular position or style of sitting. Sit comfortably but alertly, because when you sit alertly, it signals to your mind that it's time to pay attention to something. So now that you're sitting comfortably and alertly, you can start to think of Shri Krishna. This can be done at any time of the day as well. There's no specific time that you have to adopt, whatever is convenient to your schedule. Now at this point, someone may wonder, I have never seen Shri Krishna. How will meditating on him work? Someone else may add to that Shri Krishna's form is in fact divine. His body is divine. And our mind is material. So how will we correctly imagine his divine form in our mayic mind? It's true. It is not possible to actually visualize Shri Krishna's divine form in our material mind. Then what is the value of such a meditation? The value of the meditation is received because of Krishna's kindness and his grace. He graces us according to our intention. So he knows that no one until God realization can actually see his divine form, but he's watching us. He's omnipresent and he knows our every thought, and he sees, oh, this soul is trying to remember me. So whatever image we form in our mind, as long as we have the intention that this is Shri Krishna, and we should add to that the feeling that this is real Shri Krishna standing in front of me or sitting in front of me, he graces us accordingly. We should just have the faith that he knows what we're doing, he's watching us, and in fact, he is right in front of us. So we're joining our mind with the fact that Shri Krishna is there. We shouldn't worry about whether our meditation is right or wrong. We should just make the effort to think of him wholeheartedly and have the confidence that he's going to grace us for our effort. You can choose any age, any height of Shri Krishna, from a newborn baby to 16 years old, or even older if you prefer. Although saints have described that Shri Krishna's form is always 16 years old, but when he came here on the earth planet, he did the lila of being a newborn baby, a young boy, growing up. So it's up to you. You can think of him being any age, any height, any complexion you want, lighter, darker. All of that is up to you because there's no right or wrong. As long as you're thinking of his form, or you're thinking of some sound, you can use your other senses, like you can imagine hearing Shri Krishna's flute, or hearing the sound of his anklets as he walks, or the sound of his voice if he's saying something. You can also imagine what would it be like if Shri Krishna put his hand on my shoulder. Use your sense of touch. Use your sense of smell. Smell the fragrance of his banmala that he's wearing. In this way, you can involve all of your senses. And even though it's called Rup Dhyan, if you're thinking of Shri Krishna using the help of any of your senses, your mind is in Shri Krishna and your mind will be purified. You can also take the help of a beautiful picture which shows the form of Shri Krishna. So you can look at that picture and then close your eyes and try to imagine that form of Shri Krishna. And if you find that it becomes difficult, again, open your eyes and look at the picture. Then again, close your eyes. In this way, you'll give yourself some help in forming this image of Shri Krishna. If your mind wanders, just know that this is natural, because our mind is more attached in the world than it is to Shri Krishna at this point. So these worldly attachments tend to pull the mind in that direction. So we shouldn't feel upset if we have difficulty concentrating on this meditation. We know that this is natural in the beginning. If our mind goes out to the world, we just notice and bring it back to Shri Krishna. You can also meditate on Radharani. Radha is the female form of Shri Krishna. He himself is Radha. Radha herself is Krishna. So you can meditate freely on both of them together, or on just Shri Krishna, or on just Radharani, and the benefit that you will receive is equal. So whatever is more natural for your own mind, you can adopt that form of meditation, and you can also change. You can meditate on Radha, then you can change and meditate on Shri Krishna. You can meditate on both of them. So in this way, we understand the importance of meditation and the science behind it, why it works. So now we're ready to meditate.